This past week was funnel week, and funnel day came and went, which means all non-spending and tax bills, anything that didn't get out of committee, is no longer eligible. And this is obviously your first term, your first session through. Talk a little bit about how you thought the process went. Were you happy? I know you said that at a town hall meeting once, the other senator said it was going slower than it normally does. Were you happy with the speed? Do you think there's improvements that could be made when it goes through again next year? What are your thoughts on that?
Funnel week was a very interesting week. The speed that hadn't been happening all session long, it was like suddenly everyone had gotten a little jolt and started pushing their bills through. It still seemed, you know, if I were to compare with what I looked at as an outsider in previous years, it seemed like there was less pushed through this year, at least from the Senate side. I know one of the committees I serve on in local government, I believe only three bills left local government this year.
Do you think that's a product of the split chambers for being there and being part of it for so long? Maybe there's a little bit of weariness from some of the more veteran lawmakers in terms of pushing the same thing and watching it die all the time, or is there other reasons?
No, I would say that's a lot of the reason, is that with the division that there isn't a push to try and get controversial issues that they know have no hope to go through. They know it's not going to matter. Also, I think that there's a more targeted focus. I know this year the governor kind of set up his goals, and his goals were education reform and property tax reform. And so I think there's been a huge focus put on those two items, and just given more of a laser focus rather than being so broad seeking in what they hope to accomplish.
And it's important too. I mean, it's objects that both parties on both sides of the aisle want to accomplish. But that brings us to property tax reform. And as I said, all non-tax and spending policies are now ineligible, but that means property tax reform probably will get more of a focus since everything else is off the table. What have you heard from your seat in the Senate about what the Senate's pushing, what the Senate Democrat leadership is pushing, and what the Republicans will do too?
Sure. Let me just start with the governor's plan, because that's really the starting point for all conversation on property tax. The governor has proposed a bill that would, over the course of 5 years, roll commercial property taxes back by 20%. That 20% would be fully funded, backfilled by the state to counties and cities and schools, that so that local governments were held harmless. In addition to that, it would freeze year-over-year assessment increases to 2%, and it would also couple all classes of properties together so that it would be the least valued property would be the most that any property could increase in a given year. Those are kind of the highlights of what the governor's talked about in his plan. Senate Democrats, essentially the plan that they've introduced is the plan that they had last year, which is more of a property tax credit. And it is targeted at the first $300,000, I think, of the property's value. You can get a credit that offsets some of that. First year, it's funded at $50 million, and then additional $50 million is included into that each year that the state's revenues exceed a certain percentage of growth. So a maximum that it would ever be would be $250 million in tax credits. You know, that's difficult because, first of all, it doesn't allow for any certainty for business owners year over year. You know, because if the state's budget doesn't grow, then there is no credit for them to apply. So there's some uncertainty there. It doesn't do the job of actually being an economic stimulus because of that fact, and furthermore, it does not have the economic stimulus ability for larger businesses that might build $1 million or multi-million dollar facility, because it only covers the first I do believe it's $300,000 of valuation, but it's targeted more at the smaller businesses, so it may not be an economic stimulus for a larger company choosing to come to Iowa.
So what would you like to see in property tax reform then? Are you mainly on board with the governor's bill? Any tweaks that you would like to see?
Anytime we talk about property tax reform, property taxes are the main way that local governments fund essential services. That's the primary way that local governments fund essential services. being a former county supervisor, we need to make sure that the essential services that, that local people want, that they vote for, that they talk to their local elected officials about, that those local governing bodies have the latitude to make that happen. The governor's plan does backfill. It does work to hold the local governments harmless in that on that note. I may have some concerns about coupling all classes of properties simply because you might have a boom in the housing market that is then increasing the values of properties, increasing all the requirements from the local governments to meet the needs, the essential purpose needs of those property owners. So, but the industrial or the commercial didn't increase, and so you can't look at that value differently. So the coupling concerns me some. In reality, I think it can be a workable plan with some tweaks.
I do want to just briefly ask you, too, a bit about the backfill. I know that there is some concern from some administrators at the city levels, and I've heard this before. You know, they say the state says backfill, but that backfill slowly erodes, and then they're left holding the bucket. Are you concerned about that?
I am concerned about that, and that was a huge concern of mine when the Republican plan was introduced last year, because it was a 40% decrease. It was only 20% of it backfilled, which automatically left local governments holding the bag. And furthermore, I'm with you. I understand that historically the state, the first place that they look to cut are those backfilling credits back to local governments. And so, of course, I have those same concerns. It is. And that's what I say, with some tweaks, we could make it a workable plan. You know, whether that's if the state doesn't fully fund the backfill, then the local government would have the ability to offset those costs at the property tax level, or some amendment that could easily make it a workable plan that kept local governments functioning while at the same time alleviating the burden on the property owner.
All right. Well, Amy, you'll be in Knoxville this upcoming Friday, it sounds like, for your normal legislative coffee session. What time is that again?
It's 4:00 at the chamber office there in Knoxville.
All right. Well, we will see you then, and I'm sure we'll talk more about other things, including the budgets and everything else. So thanks for being here with us today.
My pleasure, Aaron.